Pastor Mike McCoy, welcoming you to the time of truth. Second Timothy chapter number 2. Let me pray and we'll try to get started. Father, I love you. And I thank you for what I felt in my heart tonight, Lord. And I know how it feels. Praise the Lord. I pray you bless this word. You'd fill this old mouth and guard your tongue. I'm praying, God, what's said tonight would be accurate in the scripture. I'm just going to read it. It stands on its own. God, expound very briefly. Help me do what I do. And I'm going to praise you for all that's accomplished. Let the word, God, the seed of the word, find good soil. Be glorified in it, I ask in my Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. This word's just, it's what we need. I mean, it's not given out a lot. I mean, you hear a lot of topical preaching, and I know this isn't everyone's favorite verse by verse, Bible teaching. Just read the Bible and teach. But this is so simplistic that it doesn't need much exposition. It says what it says, and it's easily understood. There's a couple of verses in here that got my attention this afternoon, and I spent quite a bit of time on. But this is Paul's last letter. Paul's going to die, and it's not long coming. We don't know when our last letter's going to be. Just don't know. But it's coming. And when I lay my head on that pillow at night, it's all right. I don't care. I mean, it'll be okay. And what do you do with that? Brother Cal's preaching this afternoon. I watched him this afternoon. And he said, what are you going to do with this, my atheistic friend or my agnostic friend? When it comes down to death, what you going to do then? Where's your hope? What have you got when it comes down? I'll tell you what they got together. They don't have anything. You know what I have? Hope. And it's a lively hope, and you can't do nothing with it. Devil can't do a thing about it. Ain't that good? That's good right there. And even people that don't like me, they can't do a thing about it. Praise God. Ain't that good? Yes, sir. So you mean people don't like you? Oh, you just don't know. You'd be surprised. Some don't like you. What about that? Oh, yeah. Thou therefore, my son, this is not his natural son, but it's his son in faith. Something about the son in faith that does something to the heart of somebody. And that oftentimes they'll be their favorite preacher or singing group or maybe just their Sunday school teacher or layman. That one that led somebody to the Lord in that. And it feels like you're closely akin. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He said in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know why? Because you don't have any. That's why we worship him, and our spirit turns to worship. And praise God, worship puts him in action. And when you begin to praise him, he'll set ambushments up against the enemy. And he has a history of doing that, you know. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. This was the theme verse for the Upper Cumberland Bible Institute for years down in Cookeville when we done it up here, and it was in Sparta. I don't think they're going to do it again this year. I think that season's come and gone. I'll tell you this, you've got a season in your life to get done what God wants you to do. Don't miss the season. And the things which thou have heard of me among many witnesses. There's a lot of people talking about what Paul's done, what Paul's shared, how Paul's led, how Paul's taught, how Paul's pastored. Now Paul's in prison. I'd say they're talking about him then too. Wonder what he done to get in there. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Key word in this verse is faithful men. That means a man that has proven himself faithful to the cause of Christ and the kingdom. That he's going to endure the work, the afflictions. We're about to get on that as a good soldier here in a moment. But that it is a faithful man. And that's what we need today. We need faithful men. We need that one that's going to get on. Here's what one old preacher said to pastors. He said, you're the bus driver. You just drive the bus. People get on the bus. they get off the bus. Some people are going to ride the bus to the end of the line with you. But some are going to get on, some going, you just drive the bus. That could apply. We could apply that to whatever occupancy or capacity is a better word that God has got for us. You just drive your own bus and just keep driving the bus. Some days it's hallelujah land. Other days you're driving through Knoxville at quitting time. Just drive the bus. Just keep on driving. And look, faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I don't go for someone that's been called to preach, and then they want to flip right over to the book of Revelation and start preaching to me. He put that at the end for a purpose. You learn all the others when you get up that, then come and preach that to me. Get a little bit of earn a few gray hairs. That'll help you. Learn the Word of God. We're going to bring, there'll be more on this in a moment. But we got to be able to teach others also. And then I'll come back to this verse when I get over to verse 15. They go hand in hand. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That means this thing's not a playground, it's a battlefield. You are going to get hurt. If you think you're not going to get hurt, friend, you just well quit now. But you're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier. He's speaking to a young preacher here, especially young preachers. Things are going to happen. If you take it personally, you'll quit about the second time it happens. Billy Field said they can't do anything to God, so they do it to you because you're the closest thing to God that they think they can do it to. I like that. But it's going to be hardness. But it's not just hardness for the preachers. It's hardness for the layman. You've got to endure some things, friend. Listen, you're fighting against the wiles of the devil, against principalities and power, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You're fighting against things you can't even see. Do you think that's going to be easy? No. And this health, wealth, name it and claim it, not a care in the world, prosperity stuff that's being preached today is hogwash. This verse alone shatters all of that. You're going to have to endure some things as a good soldier. If you're not enduring something, I don't think you're in the same army. Might be on the wrong team. I said might. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know what he's saying right there? He recruited me. Jesus said, you've not chosen me, I chose you. Now I'm not going down the predestination route, but that's what he done. He chose us. He chose us through the word. Paul said, I've begotten you by the word. And if any man also... And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. In other words, the prize that you're going for is not going to be easily achieved. It's going to be difficult. My wife used to ask me on New Year's Eve services when we were over there, and I hadn't been preaching that long, but every year at New Year's Eve, somebody called me and want me to preach. It was always in Timbuktu somewhere. I mean, GPS couldn't find it. And she'd say, why have you always got to go to these places out here so far away and the weather's usually bad? And you know, we're there till after midnight. We're coming home. It's like, I said, that's just where I had to go. I wish Delmer had got on the stick and said, hey, Mike, preach for us on New Year's watch service. I've been to home church. But he'd wait until 2 weeks before then and say, you got an appointment. Well, there's a pretty good chance you're going to preach somewhere else. You have to strive. It's going to cost you something. It's not going to be easy. The husbandman, speaking to a farmer here that laboreth, must be first partaker of the fruits. Why? Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, we need that. So who's he speaking to here? Young Timothy. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now some have fall out with that. Why is it his gospel? Because that's what he's the one preaching here. It's your gospel too, if you've been begotten by the word. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Why? Because of the gospel. Even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. In other words, the reason I'm in trouble and in prison now is because of preaching the gospel. I'm where I'm at because of this. Hey, I suffer trouble as an evildoer. They called him an evildoer. They didn't like this guy. Even unto bonds. He's bound up. He's in a pen. But the word of God is not bound. What's happening here? People are coming to hear Paul and him in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard. They said they changed the guards out about every 6 hours. 6 to 8 hours, they changed the guards out. So Paul had a brand new guy to witness to every so many hours. They turned one loose and locked another one up with him. Don't you know that guard was thinking, hey, tie me to somebody else. The word of God wasn't bound. It's not bound today. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I endure all things. He's doing it for someone else's sake. This society today teaches you do it for yourself. But here's what he wants them to do. He's wanting them to be saved, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Say, when did I die? And when you got saved, the old man died. And we baptize him, and it advertises, as Brother Randy says, the little boy said, when we advertise them, we raise them up to walk in the newness of life. There's something different about them than there was before. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is A+. So, if we suffer, well, we just don't like that part. There's enough of that to go around, by the way. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now watch this. This is strong right here. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Now he's writing this to Timothy in a day when they're about to cut his head off and they're feeding him to the lions for sport. So there's an opportunity for them to die just to, if they don't recant and say hail to Caesar and forget about Jesus, or if they deny him before men, they'll set them free. But if they don't deny Christ, then they toss them in there to the animals. It's pretty gruesome, isn't it? Men, I'm telling you, people are cruel. Mankind is cruel. Look at the history of the world. People are cruel. Now, notice that the statement ends there, but this next verse is tied to the last verse. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. In other words, what he said in 12 is true whether you believe it or not. And he can't deny himself. Who is he? The Word. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Now, let's look at this again. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. It's got to be beneficial. You got to share the thing that the word works. That's just as simple as it can be. The word works. Not to the subverting of the hearers, but that they'll understand it. The word works. You don't need to be a preacher. You don't need to be a Sunday school teacher or some great theologian. If you know John 3:16 and can give that out to people you come in contact with, you know what you are doing? You are sowing the seed of the word. Now, then here we go. Study to show thyself approved unto God. That's for every individual in here. Every born again individual, study to show thyself approved unto God. Now I thought he's writing this to Timothy. Oh yeah, but it's applicable to us today. I guess the question would be, is there any study time? Is there room for study in your life? That's what he'd want to know. So you just don't wake up one day and know all in this book. We'll never exhaust this book. We'll never understand it all. There's places it still leaves me scratching my head in this. Some of the Old Testament prophets, I read that. I know the language is symbolic and some things about it, like temple sacrifices in the millennial reign, some things like that. And you're just wondering, I mean, there's no exact answers. The wheel and the wheel, I've been asked that a bunch of times. What that, you know, there's some things you just have to say, you know, I'm not real clear on that. But I have studied some. And I pray that it's approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Here's the thing, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you know me, I've taught on it. I'm a dispensationalist. I believe there's been, if you just want to break it down to two, I'd go this route with you. If you just took them all, put them in one sock in the Old Testament and wrote over the top of it law, and then you come to the New Testament and wrote grace, and this was a dispensation of law, and this was of grace. And I won't fight with you over the one of innocence or government or them things. If they're not dispensations, they fit into a different part, because law and grace are two entirely different things, but it's in the same book. There's two covenants. So we understand that the things of the law, Christ, what did he come to do with the law? Fulfill the law. He didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. How do you know that? Because I studied it. We ought to know that. There was a law unto themselves, the hand of God upon people before the law was ever given to Moses. Abel knew to make a sacrifice. What kind? We study and we know these things. We know. Listen. We ought to know this. We ought to know that we're not under Sunday Sabbath law. See the big signs out there? Why do they not know that? They haven't studied. Christ is our Sabbath. We rest in him. He's the end of the law, Brother Junior, according to the scripture. How do you know that? Because you study to show yourself approved. Now you don't do that. It's unto God. Look at the words. Show thyself approved unto God. No need to be ashamed. If someone asks you a question and you don't know the answer, don't give them an answer just to give them an answer. God's not the author of confusion. Had a fellow hit me up with about two or three things because I was a preacher and at work one time, and he hit me up with a couple of things. I said, you know what? You let me go study that tonight and pray about it, and I'll bring you an answer tomorrow. Where'd you get that idea? That's what Daniel done. I thought he was a pretty good example. And sure enough, I understood it, dug it out, found it. It was simple as pie. When I got in a place with the Word of God, it was just the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost guides us in all truth. So when he guides you in that, then you can understand. And I don't know why I just couldn't give him an answer right then, but I had one for him the next day. Study approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Now, I'll confess, I wish I'd had the answer ready right then. Right? He had rather done that, but I didn't have it right then. So sometimes you won't have it. But if you study, show yourself approved. No shame in going back. Study that word. Bring it back to him. Say, I got your answer. Hey. Hey, got your answer. Here it is. We need some people to put their nose in the book. I know I'm preaching the cream of crop on Sunday night, but I'm just going to tell you, and I'm being kind here, about 50% of the church world not going to stay at nothing. And they're going to depend on me to share it with them. That's why they buy this false stuff, hook, line, and sinker. Because they don't know what the book says. Check me on this. Check me on it. Check me. But shun profane and vain babblings. Hey, you know what those are? Well, you study the book. Then you know what those are. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. So when someone comes up to you and says, I'm a homosexual pastor, you'd say, well, not according to the scripture. I'm listed homophobe right now, but that's not true. That's not true. That's just one of many, but that is the thing that we're fighting that is so dominant in our society today, is they want you to be accepting of everything. They can do whatever they want to out in the world, but according to the scripture, that's profane and vain babbling. I want my kids to know that. Because if they watch any TV at all, you can't watch nothing. They got a television commercial on with two guys sitting on each end of the dock rubbing each other's arm. I just wanted to go, ah. My Lord, how'd we ever get to there? You shut me off yet? That means yes, probably. Vain babblings. Why? They just increase more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom, I don't know who these guys are, Hymenaeus and Philetus, but I know this, they're in trouble. Who concerning the truth of erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith, and overthrow the faith of some. Because some would leave the faith. Why? Because they said, hey, you missed the resurrection. Paul said, hey, don't be like those guys. Who concerning the truth have erred. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. That's the foundation you got to be built on. It's the word of God. It's not my opinion. It's not a denomination. Listen, it's not because grandpa or grandma said it. It's got to be what thus saith the Lord. The foundation is sure. It's this book. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood, of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now I got this from J. Vernon McGee, and I really like it, and it'll help you. He said, if you was out there and you was very thirsty and you was in a dry, say you made a trek across the desert, and you was very dry and you come to a water bucket and you need a cup to drink out of, and there was a gold cup there, but it was corroded and nasty, and there's an old clay crock there that was cracked and looked kind of rough, but it was clean. He said, which one would you drink out of? Some's to honor and some's to dishonor. Now there's all kinds of I mean, there's gold and silver and wood and there's different kinds, but you drink out of the clean. Well, most people would. I'm telling you, society today is warped. They're just warped. Some would say, let's just do it and see what happens. And then they'd sue somebody for hanging up the wrong cup. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. You want a lot of things when you're young. And when you get old, they just don't mean that much to you. I mean, you think, young guys working 72 hours a week to buy an $80,000 bass boat. Bass boats are $80,000. Somebody bumped their head. I seen one the other day, I told my wife, it's got two TV screens on it. I thought, my word, look at this thing right here. Them screens are $4,000 a piece. Just to see a fish in the water. Now, as a young man, I'd have been, hey, I work like a crazy man, trying to get me a boat so I go fishing. Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's what he's listening to. And that's the only way we can call from. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he what? Won't hear me. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Now I'm going to, right here is going to help somebody. You've probably got some friends that go to a different denomination church than you do. Don't fight with them. Look, there's some people. Brother Jack Lawson cut my hair for years. For years, Jack cut my hair. And I was glad for haircut day. Brother Jack is a bishop in the Church of God. And that means he's an overseer over certain. And he's a dear friend of mine. He's preached behind this desk before. Jack preached for us. And we would go in, and man, we'd have church together. And I don't know if you remember when he preached here, but he came and he preached. When I asked him to come and preach for me, it blew him away. He said, really, you want me to come preach for me? I said, oh, yeah, you come preach for us, brother. Why? Because I knew I could trust him. He wasn't going to come in here and jump up. He wasn't going to come in here and start preaching about something that their denomination done that we didn't do. And he knew that I knew that. And I still remember what he preached on. He preached a salvation message out of the Lord's Prayer. And I'm telling you, it was top shelf. But the devil wants us to get together and start bickering one with another amongst a bunch of lost people. And the next thing you go, nobody said, that's why I don't go to church right there. One guy said, how do you know who's right? There's so many. I said, just find you one and get in there and let the Lord lead you the way you need to go. A multitude of folk are confused about it. But look, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, still continuing, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, still continuing. The statement hasn't ended. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Now there's a lot of discussion on this particular verse right here. You can get 25 different opinions depending on who you read after or ask about this. But if you run this word down, recover means this. It means overcoming a drunken stupor. So in other words, they were out of control. They were in a place where they didn't have control. They fell into a snare of the devil. And it's God's will that not any should perish. But it's the devil's will to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take people in the wheel. Now look, it's not, devil can't do anything about my soul. But man, he can do a lot of things to me here if I yield, if I'm not careful about his wiles and what he does. He'll kill your testimony. He'll kill your family. He'll kill your church life. There's a lot of things that he's after. And it is his will. And Brother Randy read the verse this morning, the snare is broken and we have escaped. I don't know if he knew this was coming up in this chapter tonight, but I thought, man, that's dead on for tonight, because the snare is broken and we have escaped. That's the verse I use for my message, Polecats and Possums. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Praise the Lord. So, that they may recover, that they may recover. Does it say that they won't? No, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Can I tell you tonight that the devil's good at what he does? He's been practicing a long time. It worked on the first people and he's never changed his tactics. It still works now. That's why God hates pride. And I'll preach a message one of these days on pride and make all of us mad. Everybody be mad time you get done with this one. But you got more of it right now than you know you got. And if it's the one thing that tops the list of things God hates, and it's pride, a proud look. And so it's easy for the devil to use that, to ensnare us. And we got to be wise against what he does. Paul's telling Timothy here, he said, here, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. In other words, we're getting in trouble. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That's how we escape that. There's no great mystery to staying out of trouble. It's just following the word of God. Now, I like what Brother Randy said, because I think I've been in that dry place more than he has. When you're just not hearing. Do you know what it is when you're not hearing and you continue to go? That's faith. Somebody said faith. That's faith. When you're feeling it, like this morning in service, everybody's shouting. Marcus couldn't sing for crying. I mean, it was on. You know what it is? You can feel that. That's easy. But it's when you get, it's when you're not hearing, and you don't feel it. And Brother Carl, we're trying to pray, and it's not leaving the room. You don't know. You've called those names 100 times or more for years, and you call them, and it's not getting out of the room, Brother Dave Mitchell. But you just keep on keeping on. Press God. You press on, press on, press on. Keep on sailing. Keep on going. Keep on keeping on. Hey, in due season, you're going to reap if you don't faint. If you faint not, come give us a verse of song. Somebody might need to pray about something tonight. Don't want to leave without giving the opportunity. Pastor Mike McCoy, thanking you for joining us at the Time of Truth.